And I'm going to begin in chapter 2, but we will slide into chapter 3 today. Today the message is about guarding our hearts. And we're going to see the story of two different men. One is David, and one is Joab, who was actually David's nephew. And David and Joab both experienced the same event, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But one of them dealt with it in a way that protected his heart. And the other one dealt with it in a way that was very destructive. And I forget who it was that said it here today, but, you know, there are times where offenses come or things come into our life, and we have an opportunity to say, you know, I'm going to respond to this in a way that honors God, or I'm going to respond to it in a way that is destructive. And you all have that choice. And so I pray today that you'll see from this story two examples, and that you'll follow the right one, which is the heart that David had. Father, I pray that you would open your word to us now. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. Cause your word to bring life to us, Lord Jesus. Help us to see your heart in the word of God today. I ask you for this in Jesus' name. So this all began. I want to turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse 12. But this all began last week when Abner was in Israel, in the northern part of Israel, and he rejected David as the king. Remember, David became king of Judah, but up in Israel, in the northern part, Abner made this other man the king. His name was Ish-bosheth, if you remember that. And I think in some ways, if you read the story, you'll see that this Abner was probably motivated by pride. I mean, he was wanting to have control. If you read the story, you'll find that Abner basically ran Ish-bosheth. Ish-bosheth seemed to be a weak man, and Abner kept inserting his control. And, you know, he was the captain of the army of Saul, and so maybe he wanted to continue in that place of, you know, responsibility. Who knows? But he didn't want to submit to David's kingship, and he drew the whole nation of Israel after David, or after Ish-bosheth, but he himself kind of maintained control. Shortly after this, there was a great civil war that broke out between David's army and the army of Israel. Now, how many of you know if you're wanting to be king over an area, it's not good to start with a civil war? I mean, that kind of puts everybody off on bad footing. But the thing you got to realize here is David did not incite this. And sometimes things happen in your life that you may hate or you may not like, and you didn't create it. Somebody else created it. Has anybody ever had that happen? Somebody else created a problem for you. Has that never happened to anybody? I'm just saying. Somebody else created the problem. But here it is. David's here and Joab's here. They're both part of Judah. And they're facing this group in Israel, a larger group up in Israel, who don't want to be under the kingship of David. And they have to face this man, Abner, who rejected David. How do they do it? What happened? Remember, the theme of this scripture today is, the theme of this message is really found in Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of everything you do flows from it. Above all else. You know, when the Bible says above all else, that really raises this thing to a high priority, doesn't it? Above all else, guard your heart. I wonder how many times things have happened in my life where I didn't guard my heart, where, you know, an event took place. Sometimes I created my own problems, and sometimes other people created problems for me. But when it happened, instead of guarding my heart and wondering, you know, wonder how God wants me to respond in this situation, I let it get out of control. And there's always consequences toward that. And so what we're going to find here is a story of two men facing the same circumstances. One responded God's way, and the other responded kind of in the flesh. 2 Samuel 2, verse 12, Abner, the son of Ner, together with the men of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. Now, if you remember the map last week, we showed it. Gibeon was kind of on the border of Israel and Judah, like kind of right just above northern part, just north of the border of Judah. And so it's almost like these guys are threatening. They're coming close to your border. And it was Abner and his men, and then Joab, who was David's nephew in verse 13, Joab, son of Zeruiah, and David's men went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. So what would you do? I mean, the enemy's coming, you raise up your army and you come out and fight against them. You want to protect your border. And what happened? I'm not going to read the story here, but basically they decided there was going to be a battle. Let some of these men come together and fight this war for us. They picked 12 from Abner's group and 12 from Joab's group. They said, you guys go down here and fight. And the Bible says each man grabbed his fellow by the hair, and which it would have been great for me to be in that battle. And some of you other guys out there. If you ever have a battle like this, make sure you choose the bald men to go up. But they grabbed each man by the hair and basically stabbed him. And so it was almost mutually destruction. You know, it was like mutual destruction there. All 24 men died. And it was almost like it was a contest. See who's the greatest. See who's the best. I mean, who knows? It was almost like a duel, like a match between Joab and Abner. Who's best? Who's the greatest? And I see from these scriptures here, it seems that Joab had a real attitude toward Abner about what he had done. And he wanted to get him back. He wanted to fight against him. And he was willing to fight here. So if you want to write that down, what happened in Joab's heart? Number one, he was willing to fight. How about you? Somebody comes against you. Are you willing to fight? How many are? Let me see your hand. Be honest with me. There's one honest person over here today. Sometimes we're just willing to put the guns on, right? We want to fight before we sit and say, Lord, what is it, my response here? So Joab came to the fight. 24 men died. And next, verse 17, the battle that day was very fierce. Sometimes when you start these battles, they get out of control. It wasn't just 24 people that died. All of a sudden, things began to escalate. And it happens with us. We get into that battle with somebody. We feel almost justified in the fight. They came to my border. I'm going to fight against them. And instead of 12 men dying on each side, all of a sudden, this battle escalates. It becomes very fierce. And it says at the end of this section that that day, 360 Benjamites were killed. 360 of Abner's men were killed that day. So what maybe started out as a little skirmish, you know, a little slap in the face toward one another, escalated out of control. And now 360 are dead in his army, and only about 9 or so of David's. Has it ever happened to you where you've been in a situation, in a conflict with somebody, and you thought, you know what, I'm just going to do a little slap here, just a little thing. I'm going to get it out of my system, and all of a sudden it escalates. And instead of getting by with your little slap, all of a sudden 360 people are dead. And it's way out of control. It's gone way beyond what you had hoped or intended. In verse 18, a third thing I want to say to you. So the first thing is you got to be willing to fight. Second thing is you got to be willing to escalate. Joab was, and we do it. The third thing was, this thing rubbed off on other people. Joab's vengeance wasn't just for him. He influenced his own brothers. And so it says in verse 18, the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Azahel. So Joab had these two brothers, Abishai and Azahel. How many here have a brother? You love your brother, right? We do love our brother. I hope you do. unless you're like a Joab here. Hopefully you love your brother. You have a relationship with your brother. And because there's a relationship, you have an influence. Everybody has an influence on the people they are close to. And all of a sudden, Joab has this vengeance because Abner rebelled against David. And maybe he talks about it. Maybe he shares his frustration. Maybe he, you know, talks evil of Abner around his brothers. But either way, here's Joab and his two brothers. And the Bible says this one brother, Asahel, was fleet-footed like a wild gazelle. I mean, he was a fast guy. And after this battle, they began to chase Abner. Imagine this. Abner's running away, and here comes Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was fast, and he was like right on this guy's tail all the way down the road. And they kept running and kept running. And these guys seemed to run for a long, long time. And the Bible says in verse 19, he chased Abner, turning neither to the right nor to the left as he pursued them. He was like focused. I'm going to get this guy. And I think maybe he was influenced by his brother. Abner looked behind him and he said, is that you, Asahel? It is, he answered. These guys knew each other. These were brethren. And they're fighting like this. Is that you, Asahel? Yeah, that's me. Abner said, turn aside to the right or left. Take one of the young men and strip him of his weapons. But Asahel would not stop chasing him. You ever get that way? The person who offended you, you pursue them and you chase them and nothing will turn you back. You're just laser focused. I'm going to get that person. They deserve this. And I'm going to chase him down. And even though the man in front of you is saying, turn back, go after somebody else. I don't want to hurt you. You keep pursuing and you keep pursuing and chasing this person. And he said in verse 22, stop chasing me. Why should I strike you down? How could I look at your brother Joab in the face? So even though they were fighting, even though there was this conflict, there was still something of a brotherhood here. I don't want to have to kill you, Asahel, because I'll have to face your brother one day. But this man kept pursuing. Verse 23, Asahel refused to give up the pursuit, so Abner thrust the butt of his spear into Asahel's stomach, and the spear came out through his back, and he fell there, and he died on the spot. Now, I'm telling you, Joab, I'm sure, did not want it to get to this point. This is my brother. I mean, he easily gave up those 12 men in the pool of Gibeon. But somehow this conflict that was stirring in his heart against Abner, this wanting to get him back, make him pay the price for rebelling against King David, was so, I don't know, it permeated the core of his being. And he influenced his brothers, and his brothers carried the same vengeance. And this one young boy who was so fast would chase this man, chase this man, chase this man, until Abner finally turned around and threw the spear at him. And now my brother Asahel is dead. And this is what happens. See, when we get this vengeance in our heart, we are just livid. We can't see anything but I got to pay this person back. And we run and we run and we chase. And maybe you're part of the chasing, but somebody you love is chasing even more because you've infected them, because you have caused your vengeance to be stirred up in the heart of this brother of yours. And he's chasing even harder and he's faster than you and he wants to get the revenge. And all of a sudden, as you're watching from behind, still running after this, you see the spear flying out of Abner's hand and go right through your brother. And he's dead. And you see, that's the thing. We don't always know the consequences that will take place in how we respond to these things. We sometimes feel like, well, it's just me and him. I'm mad at that person. They're mad at me. I don't see this spreading to other people. But unbeknownst to us, the people around us, the people that love us, pick up on our bitterness. They pick up on our anger. They pick up on our frustrations. And sometimes they carry it even further than we would. They feel justified somehow. And you have something like this that happens. It's a huge price to pay. You know, if you are a person and you have conflict, don't be putting it into the hearts of your children. You know, if you have a conflict with somebody in your family or in your workplace or in your church or in the kids' school or on the soccer team, don't be talking about that in front of your kids, because they will pick up on it. And they're going to start having that same vengeance rise up in their heart against that teacher or that soccer coach or that family at the church. You know, you have to, as an adult, learn how to deal with these things in a godly manner, because there are consequences that we don't have any control over that are, again, too heavy a price to pay. And it happened right here. Joab, in verse 24, and Abishai pursued Abner as the sun was setting, and they came to the hill of Ammah near Gia on the way to the wasteland of Gibeah. And the men of Benjamin rallied behind Abner, and they formed themselves into a group, and they took their stand on top of a hill. And Abner called out to Joab, and listen to this. This is great advice. He says, "Must the sword devour forever? Don't you realize that this will end in bitterness?" You know, I wish that when we're in the midst of these kinds of confrontations or conflict with people, that one of those in the midst of that battle would say, "Hey, should we do this forever? Should the sword devour forever? Don't we realize this is going to end in bitterness? How long before you order your men to stop pursuing their brothers?" And Joab answers, "As surely as God lives, if you had not spoken, the men would have continued their pursuit of their brothers until morning." You know, sometimes your enemy has wisdom. And man, this guy gave a good counsel, didn't he? Even though they were enemies, even though they were in conflict at this point, Abner, he didn't want to kill Asahel. He didn't want that to happen, but it was a consequence of the situation. And he tried to back off Joab. "Hey, come on, man, this is going to end badly. Let's cool our jets here for a minute." And thankfully, on that day, they did. And the men of Abner went back to Menahem, and the men of Joab went back to Hebron. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "The war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time." That's the thing you got to remember, is that conflict does not die easily. Does anybody here, I mean, I'll tell you what, I mean, this is just in a personal story. In my family, my mother and her sisters got into a fight about something. I tell you what, even to this day, I can't even tell you what it was about. And it's a sad thing, because all the days of my life until my mother died, and it was probably, I would guess, at least 30 years, maybe 40 years, these sisters did not have any communication. See, how does this happen? How does it happen that something happens, whatever it was, that causes this conflict, that rises up in your heart, and you become infected with this whatever, hatred, pursuit, to get back, to get revenge, whatever the motivation, it doesn't really matter. It's just something stirring up in your heart. And this conflict goes on and on and on and on. And at least one of these sisters took it to their grave. I think in the end, there was some reconciliation with my mom and one of them, but it's just sad. You know, we have a whole part of our family, cousins and stuff, we don't even really know, because we never hung around. We never spent time with them. I know who they are, If I see their picture, oh, that's my cousin, but I don't know anything about them. And it's because of this. See, it's a consequence that nobody wanted. Nobody hoped this would happen. But it came about because of a destructive response to conflict. It goes on and on and on. What happened to David's heart? I'm going to skip down to verse 12. Abner sent messengers on his behalf to say to David, "Whose land is it? Make an agreement with me, and I will help you bring all Israel over to you." Well, what happened in the earlier parts of that verse is that Abner had a kind of a falling out with Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth, the king, accused Abner of having a sexual relationship with one of his concubines. And Abner got mad about it, and he said, "Okay, you want to be that way? I'm going to turn all of Israel over to David. I made you the king. You don't like me now, so I'm going to take all the people and turn them over to David." And isn't that weird that God actually used that situation to make David king of Israel? You never know how the Lord is working behind the scenes to make things happen. We don't really have to take matters into our own hands. God is at work. His purposes are being established. And David had no idea. He's back there just enjoying himself in Judah, and Abner and Ishbosheth are having this big ordeal, and all of a sudden Abner says, "I'm going to go to David. I'm going to turn all of Israel over to him." So here comes Abner, and he says, "Make an agreement with me, and I will help you bring all Israel over to you." "Good," said David. "I will make an agreement with you." Now, do you think that would have been Joab's heart? Well, we'll see later on, it really wasn't. David had the ability, even though he was also slighted by Abner, that when the opportunity came to bring reconciliation, he was all over it. "I will make an agreement with you." That was the heart that was open to God. Abner slighted David just like he slighted Joab. Joab created a lot more problems by the way he dealt with it, but David was there. He experienced the same rejection, the same lack of submission, the same unyieldedness. And now all of a sudden, David wasn't really sure why. All of a sudden, this man is moved to come to David and say, "Hey, I want to get things right here. Let's make an agreement." What would you do if your arch enemy, whoever it may be, called you on the phone and said, "Hey, let's make an agreement"? Where would your heart be? I hope you would say, "Come. Let's make an agreement here. Let's reconcile this. We're all God's people here. We are all God's people." And so David had this heart that I believe was very much like the heart of the Lord to bring reconciliation into this relationship. In verse 17, Abner conferred with the elders of Israel and said, "For some time you've wanted to make David your king. Now do it. For the Lord promised David, 'By my servant David, I will rescue my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines.'" So here, God used Abner, this man who once rebelled against David. God used that same man to convince Israel to come under the kingship of David. Maybe sometime your enemy, the person who was against you, may be the one who brings the greatest blessing into your life. The nation of Israel was united because of a man who was your enemy. Yeah, now his reasons, his motivations were wrong. I mean, he was fighting with Ishbosheth. He was kind of reacting toward that. But whatever the circumstance, somehow God used this man who was the enemy to bring reconciliation. Are you open to that? Verse 20, when Abner, who had 20 men with him, came to David at Hebron, David prepared a feast for him. What? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. See, there was this openness in the heart of David. "Come, Abner, come in, bring your men, and let's have a meal. Let's eat together." There was something about fellowship and about eating together that is very important in the kingdom of God. And David invited these men who were his enemies to come in because now there's an agreement. Now there's going to be reconciliation. Now the kingdom is going to be unified. My heart is open to healing here. My heart is open to restoration. My heart is open to reconciliation. And this is how we have got to be. Because as somebody said here today, it's impossible. Who said this today? Huh? Yeah, the defenses will come. Offenses will come. How am I going to respond to it? Am I going to be a Joab? Or am I going to be like a David? And I hope you'll choose to be like David. Verse 20, Abner had his 20 men with him. They came to Hebron to David. David prepared a feast for him. And then down at the end of verse 21, David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. I mean, what a beautiful story that an enemy has come. David opened up his heart, brought him in, made the agreement, and Abner is going to bring all of Israel under David's kingship. But David, you can see here the grace that was there, the mercy, the compassion, the heart to accept. He didn't even rehash the problem. He didn't say, well, why should I accept you and why should I make an agreement with you? Maybe you're a deceiver. You know, maybe you did this, you know, several years ago. Now you want to just do something different with me. I'm not sure I can trust you. David was laying it down because I'm here for healing. I'm here for restoration. I'm here for reconciliation. And it is the heart of God. The Bible tells us that when we were enemies, Jesus died for us. He died to take an enemy and make him into a place of being reconciled with God. Jesus died for this. And so, in chapter 3, Joab came back with some of his men just after David let Abner go. What do you think he was thinking? Well, verse 23 says, when Joab and all the soldiers with him arrived, he was told that Abner, son of Ner, had come to the king, and the king had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. What do you think Joab would have done if Abner had been there and he had been there? Anybody know? He'd have killed him. As a matter of fact, in a little while, that's exactly what he's going to do. Joab still carries vengeance in his heart, and he will eventually kill Abner. And so he comes back to David and he says, hey, what's going on here? Joab went in verse 24. He said to the king, what have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why did you let him go? Now he's gone. And he said, you know, he came here to observe your movements and find everything. In other words, he wanted to be like a spy. He's going to figure out all your movements and somehow come in there and get you. Don't trust him. He's a deceiver. And see, that was Joab's heart. And all I'm saying to you is, when you don't guard your heart, and the Lord brings into your sphere of influence here the ability to bring healing and restoration, you're skeptical. And somehow we got to let that go. We have to trust God that He's at work here. He's the one who's bringing this healing. And so David, I mean, I see such a beautiful heart that he had to accept this, to bring it in, to make peace, to feed this man. And Joab carried an entirely different heart. Verse 27, Abner returned to Hebron. Abner left and Joab actually went out and said, go get him and bring him back. And so he kind of created this ruse, like, come on back, I have some things I want to talk to you about. In verse 27, Joab took him aside into the gateway as though to speak to him privately, and there to avenge the blood of his brother, Asahel, Joab stabbed him in the stomach and he died. So Joab has his revenge. And he's like, ah, oh, that felt so good. But it wasn't really the heart of God, was it? It really wasn't the heart of God. What did David do? Well, in verse 32, it says he mourned the death of Abner. You can tell that David had a heart here, didn't he? It wasn't a superficial thing. His willingness to accept Abner was not a superficial thing. And it wasn't a thing where he was trying to put mind over matter, saying, well, I think I'm going to try to trust him. There was something really in the heart of David for this man. And when Abner was killed, David wept aloud at his tomb. In verse 33, David sang a lament for Abner. Not only did he weep at his funeral, but he sat there and he sang a song about him. It's like singing a special song at a funeral, how much he thought of this man. Does that sound to you like a man who carried vengeance in his heart? Like a man who was unforgiving? Like a man who really didn't care? No, this is a man who was carrying the heart of God. And so he sang a lament. In verse 37, all the people knew the king had no part in the murder of Abner. Just the way David was responding, the people said, I know David didn't commit this murder. I know David had nothing to do with this. Look at how he's responding here. It says he even fasted on that day. Verse 38, the king said to his men, do you not realize that a prince and a great man has fallen in Israel this day? What a beautiful heart that is. Abner, I see him as a great man. He's a prince. Yeah, he rebelled. Yeah, he took Israel. But God dealt with that. That's in God's bailiwick. Is that a word? That's in God's prerogative to deal with that. David was doing his work and God was dealing with that. And through the fighting with Ishbosheth, Abner came and gave Israel to David to be under him as king. And David saw him as a great man. A prince and a great man has fallen in Israel this day. I wonder what would happen if we had to go to the funeral of the person we have the greatest conflict with, if we could honestly stand up and say something beautiful about them. There's something beautiful about every person. Or I wonder if all that would come into your mind is, he deserves to die because of the way he treated us. And like Joab, you carry that vengeance clear to the end. And David actually held his nephews accountable for this murder. Verse 39, though I am appointed a king, I am weak. These sons of Zariah are too strong for me. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to their evil deeds. You know, in the end of his life, I'm kind of getting ahead of the story here, but in the end, you can all stand with me. In the end, when David was dying and he was turning the kingdom over to his son Solomon, he said, don't let Joab go to the grave. In other words, execute him. You know, David let Joab live. But you remember different people who came and lifted their hands up against the anointed of the Lord, David would execute them. And he executed Joab, too, in the end, or had him executed because of this act. I just see such a contrast here. Two hearts, two men, two warriors, two soldiers experiencing the same rebellion, the same event with Abner. But how they treated it, how they responded to it, and how they were able to be used by the Lord to bring reconciliation on the one hand and total destruction on the other shows you why it's important to guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for everything flows out of that. David understood the importance of having a pure heart. He wrote this in Psalm 24, who may ascend unto the mountain of the Lord? That was a question, and he gave the answer. Who may stand in his holy place? Here it is. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. I want to go to the mountain of the Lord. I want to stand in his holy place, don't you? You got to look at your heart. You got to look at your hands. David is such a great example of this. And so I pray, Father, for our congregation, I ask you, Lord, that you would help us to see the importance of guarding our heart. All of us experience conflict. You said it's just a normal part of life. But how we respond falls into our responsibility. Father, I pray that you'd help us to reject a vengeful heart and help us to walk with a pure heart. Allow you to deal with us so that we can see reconciliation happen just as you would. Lord, let us carry your heart concerning the relationships in our lives, that we could learn to love as you love and forgive as you forgive, to show mercy as you show mercy, and that we would not be a stick in the spokes for people who really want to be reconciled, but we would pave the way for that to happen with graciousness, with mercy, with compassion. I ask you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said, amen. Amen.